Hey, good morning, everybody. Good to see you. We got all kinds of stuff to get into. How about we take out the handout sheet that was given to you at the front door? If you are watching online, you know how to handle all the notes electronically. And also take out a Bible. If you need a Bible, there should be one under the seat in front of you. I'll give you the page number when we're ready to turn there. But I want to begin by just sharing out, we are in part 7 of a series walking through the Gospel of John, and we're kind of just hitting the greatest hits of some of Jesus' greatest invitations to humanity. I mean, we're talking about some very famous passages. I'm going to share some verses with you today that you're going to go, oh, I know that one. Oh, I know that one. And what we're going to do is really sit at the feet of the rabbi, Jesus, and be able to say, Lord, what would you have for me? What are you inviting me into? So I'm pretty excited about what we're going to learn together today, but I want to begin with a question. What's the ceiling for humanity? What's the ceiling for humanity? We seem to be disappointed a lot, right? Oh, dang, man, life's not what I thought. Okay, well, what'd you think, right? Like, you have some idea, and it's falling short of that, so what is that ceiling you're looking for? What should we expect? I mean, in some respects, I would guess that we've been a little biased by social media, and it's kind of like we want to be the best of everybody. Like, it's kind of, oh, I want to be as successful as Steve Jobs and Bill Gates. Oh, I want to be as handsome as Chris Hemsworth, which I don't think anyone is, but that's cool. Anyway, we all have struggles. Anyway, it's not important. You know, and we're just like, oh man, well, I want to be as wealthy as this person. I want to be as successful as this person. And you just start grabbing these highlights, right? And you go, well, okay, even if we're mature enough to see through that garbage, what are we looking for? What is the ceiling? What are we disappointed about? Because we think it should be better. So I would suggest to you that there are two different realities existing at the same time for humans. And depending on which reality you're in, the ceiling's very different. So the first category, I would call fallen humanity. Fallen humanity is what we're left with after the fall in the Garden of Eden. It's broken people in a broken world, right? And by its nature, it's limitation, frustration, lack of satisfaction, lack of meaning. Don't get me wrong, we can do some crazy cool stuff. Like, God has built humanity to be able, when we put our minds to it, we can do some legit stuff. The problem is, even if we do the most amazing thing, it never seems to satisfy. That's fallen humanity. I would suggest to you that that cap, that ceiling is very low in terms of life satisfaction. But there's another category existing simultaneously that I would call redeemed humanity. Redeemed humanity, that's when humans are connected with God, when all those dormant dead systems come online. It's when our spirits are ignited. We feel the flow of God and the flow of heaven's power coming through us, that we're plugged into the power source that we were built to run off, and that's a different sort of living. It ties us to the meaning of the universe because we're tied to the creator and the sustainer of the world. And suddenly new things become possible. All our efforts become purposeful. That's a different reality. I don't know which one you're living, but they're different. And you go, man, does it really make a difference if you're a Christian or not? Does it matter if you're a believer or not? Does it matter if you're a child of God or not? Listen, I gotta tell you something, and this is not a brag, it's just a fact. I do not worry about meaning and purpose in life. And maybe you're with me on that. You go, you know what, I have that freedom too, but I'm here to tell you that the vast majority of the world doesn't have that peace. I never worry about whether or not what I'm doing is meaningful because I know a truth, and the truth is this. The only reason I'm on this planet is to be connected to my God, obey my Lord, and serve him for his glory. If that is the case, then I am successful insofar as I'm obedient. And if I'm obedient, I'm doing meaningful things, meaning I'm actually attached to the one who does all the eternal stuff. I don't worry every day whether or not my life makes a difference because I'm connected to the one that does. So I don't worry about that stuff. But there's millions and millions of people that do. I don't live in that world. I got my own hangups, I got my own problems, I got my own issues, but that ain't one of them. I know what I do matters because I do it with Jesus. And he always matters, right? So my thing is, when we're talking about good stuff, and I'm not talking about we get everything we want when we're Christians, that's bogus. Listen, a lot of stuff that we want is not really healthy for us. If we're talking about good stuff, how do we get there? How do we get the good stuff? How do we get what humanity was really built for? How do we get to the place where there's satisfaction and depth and meaning and power and authority in our lives? How do we get there? That's what we're looking for. And here's the fill in the blank on the sheet in front of you, online, however you're looking at it, here's the fill in the blank. Jesus is the access point to all good things. Jesus is the access point to all good things. I don't care what you're searching for. If it's good, Jesus is waiting for you there. If it's meaning, answers Jesus. If it's peace, answers Jesus. If it is freedom, answers Jesus. No matter where we're gonna go, it's gonna come back to him. Why? Because he is the source of all good things. It is this invitation to the greater. It is this invitation to the more noble, the appropriate humanity that Jesus is offering out to us today. And that's what we're gonna study. Last week, Pastor Brian led us. Can we appreciate Pastor Brian's teaching? Yeah? My teaching team is second to none. They're extraordinary. Pastor Brian talked about the famous invitation when Jesus said, "I am the bread of life." And this was an invitation to come and be sustained by him, to be the very staple of your existence. And he challenged us, if you remember this, he challenged us and said, maybe you don't see Jesus as your sustenance because you're treating him like a snack instead of a meal. Yeah? Man, power, right? But this week, Christ's invitation, it comes with a challenge as well. Jesus wants to know if we're tired of being lied to, tired of living for less, tired of being duped, tired of living in darkness. And you go, I have no idea what you're talking about, dude. I'm just going to work. I have a regular life. I don't understand what you're saying. You're being all dramatic. Okay, then you're probably interacting with the words of Jesus like the original audience did. They were a little lost too. They're like, you keep saying I have all these problems. I'm not sure I know what you're talking about. But maybe, you see, they didn't know the cross. They didn't know the resurrection. Maybe on this side of the cross, this side of the resurrection, 2,000 years later, maybe we can pull it apart and understand what Jesus really meant. And maybe that can change our lives today. We are going to study two different conversations of Jesus, one with Jesus in public, one with Jesus in private. And the reason why I want to highlight that is Jesus talks different to different groups of people. Sometimes we think we can just throw open the Bible and then we just read it and we go, man, that's weird. Jesus is kind of being like harsh on me today. Well, hold on a second. If you scripture dive, you usually miss context. When Jesus talks to self-righteous religious people, he's pretty rough. When he talks to broken sinners, he's super gentle. So if you don't know the context, you're just opening it up and you're like, wow, he seems to be in a bad mood today. You're like, well, no, you actually got to read on who he's talking to, and then it makes way more sense. So you're going to see Jesus give out these invitations for more. One of them is to a mixed public audience, and the other is to his buddies. And you're going to see a very different tone to those. How about we begin with the public conversation? Would you turn with me in your Bibles to John chapter 8, verse 12? John chapter 8, verse 12. Again, there's a Bible under the seat in front of you if you don't have one today. Just use one of ours. It's page 894, 894. That'll get you there a little bit faster. It's very helpful to follow along with me because I stop a lot to explain. You can just kind of follow along with your finger and then just pause when I pause. All right, so we're gonna read one of the most famous statements of Jesus right off the bat. It begins in verse 12. Jesus is in the temple in southern Israel in Jerusalem. He's in a very religious place. People have come there to have religious dialogue. Some of them have come to worship God. Some of them come to bring tithes and offerings. Some of them have come to get their sins taken care of. And he says this publicly. Again, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Man, that's really weird. Like you're just hanging out in church, you're hanging out in temple, and all of a sudden some 32-year-old dude stands up and he's like, I'm the light of the world. You're like, yeah. You're also socially odd, right? And you're like, so what do we do with that? Like, I'm the light of the world. So one thing that we immediately need to log in our minds that maybe it doesn't trigger here, but it would trigger there, is that in a religious environment that's full of Jewish people, they were trained as kids in the Old Testament. The Old Testament says that God is the light of the world. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth, and he said, let there be light. So when you got a 32-year-old dude going, I'm the light of the world, you're like, whoa, that's weird. Because like, that's a God title. So are you saying you're the Messiah? Like, what are you trying to say? And even when he brings up light of the world, like everybody has a little different vibe on what they think it means. So what do you think it means? What do you think he was trying to get across? One of the things I want to caution you on is sometimes we will use science advances in the last 2,000 years and try to import them back. Right? Oh, what do we know about light? Well, light has a bunch of different variations, and then through a prism, some light's not even visible to the human eye, and maybe he's talking about misery. Okay, stop. They don't know any of that. He was talking in a way that they could understand in the moment. So what is light? Light is illumination. If he would have said, and I'm the fire, you would go, oh, that would be light and warmth. Because that's what people would understand. I'm the light of the world. I'm the light that is in the world. When I'm here, I bring light to the world. That all those things are obvious. But what do you mean by it? It means light is illumination. On the negative side, light ruins hiding. Like playing hide and seek in a super well-lit room is lame. You're like, 10, oh, there you are. That was the stupidest game ever. Why are we playing this at 45 years old anyway? Light exposes secret, right? On the positive side, light reveals stuff that needs to be found, right? There have been a handful of times that out of love for my wife, who was sleeping at the time and I had to get up early, I got dressed in the dark, and I regret every time I did that. That was a poor choice. Side note, navy blue and black are not the same color. In case you're wondering, write that down. If you're like, dude, I can't find my other shoe, you turn on the light in the closet and you can find your shoe, right? So light, in one sense, it ruins hiding, but it also helps you find stuff that you need to find. And whenever Jesus brings up an analogy, sometimes you can contrast it with the opposite, and then you start to get a groove. So what do we know about darkness? Darkness as a metaphor is rarely ever positive. Right? And you're like, oh, actually, I love the darkness. I can only sleep when it's completely silent and dark. You're weird. God gave you eyelids for a reason. Amen? That was directed to my wife. Okay, let's go on. All right. She was at the other service. We're cool. Okay. Darkness means hiding something negative. If darkness is evil, then light is righteousness and goodness. If darkness is obscuring, light is revealing. If darkness is dangerous, light is safe. If darkness is restrictive, light is liberating. You tracking with me? Like you begin to see, and he's like, I'm the light of the world. And you're like, oh, that's a positive. That means we can see things we need to see, right? He said, whoever follows me will not walk in darkness. You're like, well, that sounds pleasant, because you're like, I want to be next to shining guy, because then I don't trip over stuff. And you're walking along with him and your pathway is illuminated, and you can see what is right and what is wrong, what is good and what is bad. But here's the interesting thing about that statement. It also means it's really hard to hide in his presence. If you walk with him, you can't walk in darkness And we all have to be honest that some of the darkness in our life was put there on purpose. Imagine you're giving Jesus a tour of your heart home. And you're going around, you're like, oh, look, Jesus, this is my room. And oh, look at the size of the bathtub. You could fit in there too, right? It's stuff like that. And then all of a sudden, there's like this dark hallway. And he's like, what's down there? You're like, we don't go in the West Wing. You're like, what? Why did your voice change? That's so unsettling. And he's like, I want to go to the West Wing. He's like, I want to go down there. You're like, we don't go there. Yeah. Well, I think I'm going to go there. Okay, so when you're with the illumination guy, he kind of goes places you don't really want him to go. And he's like, what's down there? What's down there? What's down there? And so when you want to walk with Jesus, there's a certain amount of exposure that happens. Right? So some of it we're really good with, and some of it we're like, don't touch that, don't look in there, right? But the other thing that's really interesting about that is he said, those who walk with me will not walk in darkness. You gotta follow me to have it keep being lit, because I'm on the move. When shining light guy is going down the hallway and you're watching him approach, it's like darkness, and it goes light, 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 dark, dark, dark. Right? Because he went by. So if you want the light of Jesus, you have to keep in step with Jesus. You can't just take a little bit and then go back to your own thing. Because what you'll end up with is some light and some dark. And that's unfortunately what we have in our lives today. Lord, I don't understand why I don't have the freedom that you promised me. And he's like, well, that's funny because you only listen to me 50% of the time. So no, you do not have the freedom I gave you, because to have the freedom I gave you, if I'm gonna say my yoke is easy and my burden is light, I mean, if you do it my way. See, if we combine our ways, you're gonna have about 50% freedom and 50% bondage. And then you keep telling me that I did something wrong. I didn't do anything wrong, you just didn't follow me. I'm on the move, kiddo. So if you're not gonna walk with me, you're gonna find yourself back in darkness again. To those that follow me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. In other words, once the darkness is removed, life can return. I want you to picture the analogy of having cancer in a tumor, that if there's a tumor in your body, it's stealing from you. Cancer basically starts as a renegade cells. It's cells doing their own thing, not playing well with others. And as it collapses into a mass, you start to have it drain resources. So it's pulling life from you. It's taking away energies that should be elsewhere because your body's trying to attack it. It's beginning to bring toxicity into your body. And so what we need to do is we need to take that to a surgeon, a doctor, who then opens and exposes, cuts out and removes, closes so health can return. Because the health of your heart and your cells and everything else is trying to make you healthy. There's a block. You got to get the block out of there. Then it can be good. And that's what Jesus is saying. He's like, if you walk with me, there's certain things in there that I feel like you're trying to run a race with weights on your legs. I built you to run really, really fast, and I know you're used to those weights. What I'm telling you is I'm not so sure they're necessary. And so there's certain weights on your life, there's certain lies you're believing, there's certain things that you're playing in your mind that are not true. And so whenever you do that, they're stealing some of your energy away from things I need you to focus on. You'll believe a lie and go down this tunnel, and now all of a sudden you're wrestling with something I never intended you to wrestle with. Because it's not even true, you guys. Well, you can imagine if he says stuff like this, it's probably gonna tick off some of the religious leaders. Now, we're early in his ministry, relatively. And so they're building their hatred for him, but it's a mixed group. So he's talking to strangers and people passing by, and he's also talking to some Pharisees or religious Jewish leaders. Well, they immediately trigger off and they're like, hey, dude, who do you think you are to say stuff like this? And Jesus is like, you know, the funny thing about that is if you knew who I was, you wouldn't ask that dumb question. Like, I'm not from here, guys. This is not my world. As a matter of fact, I'm from the Father and I know you respect him. You may not know me, but I'm here on his behalf. They're like, anybody can say anything. He's like, no, I got you. I know anybody can say anything. What I'm telling you is there is evidence in my life that I am here on God's behalf. And if I'm here on God's behalf, you coming at me means you're coming after him. But I'll tell you this, I will show you proof One day you're gonna lift me up and I will demonstrate by fact that I am not from here and I am who I say I am. I am your Messiah. Now, they didn't know what he was talking about, right? Because nothing had happened yet. Now we know on the other side, what he meant was, I came from heaven and I'm returning to heaven. So if you tried to follow me, you couldn't follow me. And one day you're gonna lift me up on a cross, you're gonna kill me, and I'm gonna pop right back out. And then what are you gonna do? Because I'll tell you, that's evidence that I am really God. They didn't know all that yet, so they were caught up in the mystery of it. But what was interesting is there were some really soft-hearted people that were listening too. Look at verse 30. As he was saying these things, many believed in him. And I think that's so sweet. We always are like, oh, he really wrestled with the Jewish people. No, he didn't. The Jewish people thought he was amazing. The Jewish leaders were struggling. And so a bunch of people were like, wow, what a beautiful Messiah. I'm so happy I was here. So Jesus said to the Jews who did believe in him, verse 31, if you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples and you will know the truth and that truth will set you free. And they said back to him, hold on, Jesus, we are offspring of Abraham. We're Jews and the chosen people. We've never been enslaved spiritually to anyone. So how do you say you are gonna become free? I think we're free right now. And Jesus answered them, yeah, that's the problem. Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who practices sin becomes a slave to sin. The slave doesn't remain in the house forever. The son remains forever. So if the son sets you free, that's me, then you will be really free. Okay, so let's talk about this. He said to those that were soft-hearted, hey, if you remain with me, I'm gonna transform you. I want you to walk with me daily. Hey, you guys, the transformation's in the follow. In other words, it's not, hey, I come to church and I'm into him and then I put him in a cupboard and then I pick him up next Sunday and then I put him in a cupboard. He's like, no, if you walk with me consistently, you will be fully transformed. I will make sure that the lies go away. I'll make sure the bondage is broken and falls off. And I will make sure that you are fully redeemed humanity. That's what I'm offering to you. But I need you to stay with me, okay? And they're like, you keep bringing this whole I can be free thing. Dude, I'm fine. I'm a Jew. Like, I'm the chosen people. Like, what do you mean you keep, oh, you can be spiritually free? Man, we've never not been spirit. What are you talking about? And he's like, you see, I don't think that's correct. As a matter of fact, I'm not arguing that you're not the chosen people. I'm not arguing that our people, and remember Jesus was Jewish, I'm not arguing that we're not a beautiful people. What I'm telling you is that the moment we chose us over God, we've been getting played and dominated. And so this whole business about you think you're free, no, you're not. You've never been free, kid. You wanna talk about free? I'm the only one that can get you free. Now, I wanna talk about that for a moment because we play this same game. Now, what's interesting is in modern day America, I don't have access to a lot of Orthodox Jews. I don't have a lot of people arguing with me, I'm good because of my birthright as a Jew. I don't have that. In modern day America, you know what I deal with? The I'm a good person trap. Like that's everywhere. Hey man, you wanna go to church? Why would I wanna do that? Well, so we can learn a little bit about what God wants for us and we can connect to him. Dude, I'm fine. Hey, you know what? I think that Jesus can save you from your sin. My sin, I'm good, bro. I don't have a sin problem. Well, I think that you do. Dude, I didn't kill anybody. We're fine. You're like, whoa, when did killing people become the bar of goodness, right? But everybody puts themselves in I'm the good category. And they're like, yeah, I'm good. I'm gonna go to heaven. Like God's gonna be like, oh, did you do too many bad things or good things? Like we make up this stuff. And we're like, yeah, I'm gonna go to heaven because I'm a good person. Okay, this is where Jesus just blows the entire thing out of the water. And he's like, okay, hold up. Let me tell you the bar. The bar is from the moment you are on this planet, if you ever choose your way rather than God, you're condemned. You're done. That's it. You're a sinner. You're owned. So no, there are no good people. Stop with that ridiculous lie. I'm a good person. You're not. Because you're doing you. You're talking about you. You're all into you. You're making your own decisions. You're on this planet for him. So anytime you choose you over him, that's selfish. That's rebellion. That's wrong. And so this whole business where you keep saying, I'm a great person. God would be lucky to have me. Stop with that. You're not. And here's the thing, and I don't want to be super insulting here, kids, but I'm telling you right now, you keep saying, oh, I'm independent. No, you're not. Listen, in a world where there is God and Satan, demons and angels, you're not a power player enough to even make your own decisions. Everyone's making decisions for you. Oh, I'm an independent person. No, you wear what you wear because that's what advertising tells you to wear. You do what you do because they tell you what to do. You drive what you drive because your friends tell you what to drive. Listen, you've never been independent. You don't even know what independence means. The enemy's playing you. The world's playing you. The whole thing about we end up thinking, oh, if I had stuff, then it's going to make me feel fulfilled. Who the heck told you that? That's not from God. So where'd you get it from? It's from the world. It's from the enemy. It's from this. And so all of a sudden, and you understand what Jesus was trying to lay out? You guys keep telling me, he said, that you're free. When were you free? I don't think you've ever been free. I'm trying to get you free. And you keep telling me you're good. You're not good. Some of you believe I'm unlovable. Who the heck told you that? It's not even close to being true. It's not in the realm of reality. I made you in my image, therefore you have inherent value. I love you so much, I sent my only son to die for you on the cross, that whosoever would believe in me would live forever. So what in the world are you talking about? You're unlovable. I love you, and you keep looking at me like that doesn't matter. But it does. So all these lies that you're believing, you're not free. But boy, do I want to get you there. When Jesus sets you free, then we can start talking about freedom, right? This is where we pause and we go to the second conversation, because that was the public mixed group, Jesus bringing some fire, bringing some challenge. Now we shift to a private environment with his followers. Would you go to the right in your Bibles and go with me to John chapter 14, verse 1. John chapter 14, verse 1. This is another one, a passage we're gonna study that I'm pretty sure one of these verses we're about to read in a little bit, you could quote to me. You maybe just miss the context, but you could probably quote it to me. But let's begin here in John 14, 1. He's sitting with his disciples and he says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God and in me. Let's stop right there. What does hearts being troubled mean? It means worried. We're worried about stuff. So what is worry? Worry means, wow, I'm not in control of my scenario and bad things might happen that I can't stop. That's worry. Y'all tracking with me? And he said, yeah, stop doing that. And what's interesting is it's a command, and some of us hear like a rebuke and we're like, Jesus, that's mean. Like I'm already stressed out and you're like, knock it off. But that's not the spirit of it. The spirit of it is an encouraging promise. And here's why. Do not let your mind run where it wants to run. And the reason why I command that is because you can. You're not stuck with it. You can stop it. There is an antidote to it. It does not have to dominate you. It does not have to completely bind you. I want you to stop the train because you can. And you want to know what the antidote is? Put me back in the situation. Because here's the deal, kids. Every time you play this game where you are running down the what-if train, y'all know what I'm talking about? Every time you're going down the what-if train, I'm never there. You're like, oh my gosh, I got a diagnosis. Now I'm gonna have cancer, and what's gonna happen? Who's gonna take care of my kids? And oh my goodness, now everything's gonna go terrible, and I wonder if that's gonna be a lot of pain associated with it. He's like, when did my name ever come up? Oh Lord, you know what? Now that I have, my kids are a little bit older, I really tried to raise them in the Lord. God, they're not serving you. So you know what? God, now they're all gonna die, and they're gonna go to hell, and they're gonna do this, and they're gonna do that. He's like, whoa, who's the savior here? Me. Every scenario you keep letting your mind run down and worry, I don't seem to be there. Stop taking me out of the scenario. Put me in it. So let's play the game again. I'm cool with you going, man, I'm freaked out. I just got a diagnosis of cancer. The next response should be, I wonder how Jesus is gonna handle this one. Like, oh my gosh, he either said he's gonna get me out of it or he's gonna get me through it. I wonder what he's gonna do. I wonder if he's gonna heal me himself or whether or not he's gonna have medicine help me out or whether or not he's gonna make me so peaceful that I'm okay going home. Like, Jesus, what miracles are you gonna do along the way? Is there gonna be any treasures you're gonna show me? Is there anything you're gonna reveal to me? Is there more peace? Is there more strength? Is there more hope along the way? He said, now you wanna run that one? Let's go. But stop taking me out of the picture because I'm not going anywhere. You picture your life with me and without me, but if you're my child, it's just with me. And that's it. In my Father's house, and I love this because it sounds like he's talking to a bunch of little kids. These are grown men. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, would I have told you that I was gonna go prepare one of them for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, obviously I'm gonna come back, I'm gonna bring you so that you can be with me. And you know where I'm going, right? I mean, you're like, are we in like toddler land? What is happening right now? He's like, my dad's house is super big. And there's so many rooms, oh my gosh. Which one's mine? It just sounds funny that you're like, aren't we all talking to a bunch of dudes here? Like, what's happening? And here's the funny thing about it, is it's so sweet. Because what does house make you think of? If you got a room in the house, it probably means it's your family's house. You belong there, it's familiar, and it's your safe place, right? So he's like, hey, our Father, and we're all there, we all live together. Boy, there is tons of space, but what's super cool is you have your own space, meaning I see you individually. I know what you like in your room. I know what posters I need to put up on the wall. I know what you enjoy, and I know your aesthetic. And when you walk into your room, when you pass from here to there, you're gonna go, oh, I'm home. And it feels super familiar. And he said, now, follow with me, kids. If I'm making you a special room, I'm probably gonna make sure you get there, right? Like it would be dumb to just make it and not let you go home. So obviously I'm coming back and I'm gonna get you. I'm a savior, I'm really good at what I do. I'm not forgetting you. I made it just for you. The whole reason I created you was for you always to be with me. So why in the world would I blow my one goal? I got you. And everybody knows where I'm going, right? And I love this next line. It's my favorite line. Look at verse 5. And Thomas said, nope. Lord, we do not know where you are going. How could we know how to get there? It's just super funny because you read the Bible and you're like, am I the only one that's missing something here? Thomas is looking around like, is anybody else gonna ask? Like, no, dude, I have no idea what we're talking about right now. I've never been to heaven, right? It's such an honest response. And this is when you know the verse, right? You know this one. Look at Jesus' response. Look how sweet this is. And Jesus said to him, of course you know the way. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except through me. We always kind of divorce that from its context, and we think of it as like an evangelism or a theology statement about how it has to be Jesus or nothing. But it's interesting because it's in the context of encouragement. Because he's like, and we all know where we're going, right? And Donna's like, no, we do not. And Jesus is, he's like, yeah, dude, we're going to heaven. And you know the way. He's like, how could I know the way? He's like, dude, I'm the way. You know me. I know how to get there. I don't need to give you the details on how to get there. You're a terrible driver. So I'll get us to heaven. You don't need to know the details. You need to trust me. Because I'm your connection and I'm right with you, bud. So I got you. Of course you know the way to go. You're just gonna be with me at all times, okay? You're with me now, you're gonna be with me then. So let's go. And when you walk with me, I'm gonna keep revealing things to you so anything that hinders you falls away. And as all that falls away, you're gonna start watching that eternal quality of life rise up in you. It's interesting because he then goes into a statement of going, hey guys, I know I have to go away, but I'm only changing the visual part of our relationship and partnership, but I'm not actually leaving you. I'm gonna go up to heaven, and when I go up to heaven, now I'm your resource agent. Like, I've lived this life to show you what it looks like for a real human being, me, Jesus, a real human being, living under the direction of the Father and the power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm doing like radical stuff, right? I'm advancing the kingdom of my Father. Well, that needs to continue. When I go to heaven, I just start resourcing you guys and you're gonna carry that movement on. So I'm always with you. I know it feels weird because you can't touch me, but make no mistake, I'm right there. And I just wanna encourage you kids that because of the nature of how many there are of you and the stuff that I really wanna do through you, greater things will you do than even the things you saw me do. And if you wanna do something that's in alignment with the Father's will and you wanna do it in my name, I got your back. Let's go change the world, he said. The freedom that Jesus invites us into, whether you're brand new to this or you're a longtime Christian, is in the follow. There are things I wanna tell you, but I can't tell you till year 10. Well, Lord, just tell me it all right now. You couldn't handle that. So I'm gonna kind of drip it out to you in a way that you can receive it. And I just want you to have a series of yeses in your heart, and we're gonna get there. You're gonna turn around and go, wow, I've had so much freedom. But on the day-to-day, I have to drip it slow enough for you to utilize it. Because if I just bombard you with all this stuff that needs to change, you're gonna feel condemned. And I'm trying to motivate you, not condemn you. So, trust me, walk with me, and let's see what happens. That's the invitation of Jesus. So what we're gonna do is we're gonna close out in prayer. Can I have the prayer team come on up here? The prayer team comes here each and every week with a hope that they get to pray with you. That what they want to do is be there for your encouragement, to be able to say, you know what, I'm struggling right now. There's something that feels heavy on me. Would you just pray for me? And they take it from there, okay? So as the prayer team comes on up here, we're gonna pray together, and I'm going to just lead us in some guided prayer. I'll kind of pray on our behalf. So how about we do that and we'll close it down, yeah? All right, here we go. God, you are so good and kind. And Jesus, the words that you shared out to us, even in a mixed group, are laced with love and kindness and gentleness and winsomeness. I'm reminded of your word that says that your kindness leads us to change our minds. And God, we need to change our minds today. Lord, there's some of us that can hear my voice that this is all brand new, and your invitation is try me out. See if I'm legit. Do it my way, walk my way, and see if it doesn't change your life. If you can hear my voice and you're in this room right now, can you just slip your hand? If that's you and you just wanna say, oh God, I don't know you, but I wanna know you, just slip your hand up in the air. Just raise it up and then put it right back down. It's just between you and God. Yep, yep, yeah, okay. Okay, I'm praying for you. Heavenly Father, pastor's talking about me. That I wanna know you. I don't know everything about it, but I wanna walk down that road. I wanna chase after you. God, your word says that if I draw near to you, you'll draw near to me. And God, I don't know what everything means. It just means that I can't do it on my own. I want everything that Jesus has to offer right here, right now. I admit willingly, I have been doing my own thing and it's just not gonna get me there. So God, I say yes to you. Save me, rescue me, heal me, do the things that only you know how to do. All that was on the cross, all the forgiveness, all the grace, the transformation of my identity into a child of God, I want that. Everything pastor's talking about, everything that your word says, I want it for me. So God, I say yes to you today. If you are a believer and you know that there are some weights around your ankles, that which you can't imagine living without, but the Lord says there is greater freedom for you and you can feel that resonating in your spirit and you'd like some prayer, can you just slip your hand up? Yeah, there's a bunch of us. Okay, let's pray. Lord, we slip our hand up because pastor was talking about us on that one, that Lord, that we know who you are. All the important heavy lifting you've done for us, God, you have forgiven us, you've cleansed us, you've given us a new identity, but Lord, we are not seeing the maximum freedom and probably, Lord, because we're just simply not letting you be Lord of all. But God, we don't even know how to do that. If we knew how to do that, we would do it right away. So God, we ask that you would help cut those weights off our feet. We ask that you would help us to walk out of bondage, out of fear, and into freedom. Lord, would you give us the liberty that you promised, that Jesus, you said, if you set us free, we will be totally free. And God, we wanna be totally free. That whatever it is that we're buying into, whatever lies are still crippling us, God, we ask that you would dispel them in the name of Jesus. That you would begin to quicken our spirits, that we would want freedom, that we would believe you when you say it, that we would let all that other garbage go. So God, we say yes to you in your ways. Show us a new vision. Show us how it would be to not have that weight on us. God, sometimes we even think it's a part of us. We start playing this game, oh, it's generational. I break that in Jesus' name. Nope, I don't care what's generational. This is a child of God today. And so we just say no. So Lord, we break off all those things like alcoholism and abuse and all those terrible things that have been tried to be passed to us. We don't want that baton. So we drop it on the ground and we dig it in dirt. And we say, God, it begins fresh with us. God, set us free. That we start a brand new chain. And that brand new chain is the chain of freedom. We ask all these things in the powerful name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Have a wonderful weekend.